Okay, so we're carrying on in our series, and we're looking at today, Wise Up, Friends. And last week we started off our series in the book of Proverbs, and we're going to carry on that and have a look at the whole idea of what does the book of Proverbs say about friends. But first of all, just a couple of stories that maybe give us an idea of what friendship is not. So there was two men, and they were out in the woods and they were hunting, and suddenly they came across a bear, and they absolutely panicked and they started to run, and one of them stopped and got his running shoes out of his bag and put them on, and his friend says, "What are you putting them on for? You'll never outrun the bear." He says, "I don't need to outrun the bear. I just need to outrun you." Think about it. Okay. Another one was a man dialing a wrong number. And he dialed a wrong number and got the following recording. He says, "I'm not available right now, but I thank you for caring enough to call. I am making some changes in my life. Please leave a message after the beep. If I do not return your call, you're one of those changes." Okay. So, do you ever see on Facebook, actually, some people put, doing a clear out, if you see this, you're the lucky one? Yeah, I wonder how many I haven't seen that. But anyway, today, as I say, we're going to look at the book of Proverbs, and we're going to look at friendship. And I hope today will be a bit lighter. It'll just be a bit of an interesting thing. What I want to encourage you to do is be prepared to interact a little bit, but also be prepared to have your Bible in whatever format you have that in front of you, to have it there, because we're going to look at loads of the little Proverbs that the book of Proverbs has for us. So I want to encourage you to stay with me, to look them up whenever we're looking them up, and I will have times as well of a little bit of feedback. So that's going to start right now. So before we start, I've got a question that I want you to just talk to the people around you and think about this. Is it important to have friends? And why? Okay, so talk to people around you. If you're saying yes, why? If you're saying no, why? Is that fair enough? Okay, spend about 2 minutes. And I want feedback from some of the children as well. Okay, so is it important to have friends? If so. Okay, it sounds like you're coming down. So does somebody want to do a wee roaming mic for me? A roaming mic, not a Roman mic. I don't know what a Roman mic is, but a roaming mic. Anybody want to run about for me with a mic? You all right? Thank you, Stephen. Thank you. Okay, so who's going to answer? Okay, looks like Zara's the first with her hand up. Brilliant. That's a shy one. This hasn't been filtered.
If you're lonely and you need someone to play with.
Brilliant. Excellent. So you think it's important to have friends? Yeah, okay. Okay, over here, Hannah.
Because they stick up for you.
Good, yes, absolutely. Okay. Anybody else? Colin?
Your Facebook page would be empty.
Yes, indeed. You'd have nobody to spy on. Anybody else? Okay, Hilary.
People to sharpen you and strengthen you.
Brilliant. Excellent. Anything else? Go for one more, maybe? One more. Okay, Ryan, down here. This is while your grand is fit, isn't it?
Encouraging your other.
Encouraging each other. That's right. Brilliant. Wow. Okay. Some really good answers there. Okay. So I think we're agreed that it's important to have friends, and that friends can be absolutely beneficial for our lives. And so what I wanted to do was, I have a number of different points that we have a look through and subjects that are covered whenever we look at friendship within the book of Proverbs. And the first one is this, that we've been created for friendship. Now, although there's not a verse that says that exactly, but the whole inference that we talk about, and a lot of the book of Proverbs as you read through it, it's about relationship. It's about how to treat one another. It's about how we connect with one another. And we know that we have been created for relationship. We've been created for friendship. No man's an island. We haven't been created to go and stay somewhere on our own. Even the most introverted among you, you need friendship. You need connection. Thank you for the guys at the back for putting that on for me. So we have been created for friendship. We need to have that. We know that that's how we've been wired, created for friendship. In Genesis 2, verse 18, God says it's not good for man to be alone. And although that was primarily for a wife, but of course, wives are our best friends. Isn't that right? Husbands, it's a good time to nod right now. Brownie points will be received. But absolutely, well, I would say Alison's my absolute best friend. She's a companion that I walk through life with. It helps that she's good looking. But do you know, this is what happens when you have to do a sermon on short notice. Things come out. All right. But we walk through, and it's not good that we are alone. It's not good that we're left on our own, but that we have this element and this wiring within us that we've been created for relationships. Even consider some things in Scripture, and you see the friendship of David and Jonathan and how that was such a positive thing and such a helpful thing for especially David to get him through some really dark and difficult times. Also, if you see the life of Jesus, I mean, Jesus, if anybody didn't need friends, it was Jesus, and yet Jesus spent a lot of his time, yes, discipling, but also walking with people that he called friends. First of all, with the 12, and then he had three guys that he drew alongside him that he did life with over the 3 years of his ministry. And it wasn't just about discipleship, it was about companionship, friendship, walking through life. In the early church, we see, and I would go so far as to say that the church is and has to be built on friendship. It has to be built on relationship. It's really important. We need to understand the church, and we know the idea that the church isn't just bricks and mortar, but the church is you and me. We are the church. But as we are the church, it's not just that we are kind of cemented together in this cold way that we turn up and we just facilitate a program to keep ourselves happy. But we want to, and we've talked about this idea of koinonia, of fellowship, of friendship, of walking through life together. And that's really what we want to and we believe is really important. We see that in the early church. We see that with Paul and his missionary journeys, taking people alongside him. If you read Paul's letters, you hear how he talks about companions and people who drew alongside him, even times when he was in prison, and people who came and were of comfort and help and of benefit to him. We see this right throughout so many examples in the early church. Even our relationship with the Lord. In John chapter 15, verse 15, Jesus says, "I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends." This idea of friendship is something that doesn't just run through Proverbs, but right throughout the Scriptures. So our connection with God is friendship. Our connection with others is friendship. Our connection with church, and as we come in here, it's to be friendship. It's to be relationship. It's not to be, and we've talked about this again, this high-by culture. It's to be an element where we actually like each other and get on with one another, and we put up with each other's idiosyncrasies. Isn't that right? Because God's teaching us patience. Okay, so you bear with me and I bear with you. I think you've got the harder job, but that's kind of how it works, that we grow in friendship with one another. And even as we think, and it wouldn't take a genius to look at society and go, we're wired for friendship. I mean, one of the big things of my generation was Friends. Anybody watch Friends? We'll pray for you. No, I'm only kidding. No, but we watch Friends, and a lot of the sitcoms and a lot of the things that we watch, what is it that attracts us to it? What is it that draws us towards those things? Well, I would suggest that a lot of it is because of the friendships that are within it, because of those connections, because they kind of allow people to get on with who they are, and yet they accept them the way they are. And there's so many things that we find attractive about that. I think it's because we're wired towards friendship. We're wired towards relationship. Also consider Facebook. Consider social media. Consider how much we are longing to engage in friendship and connection with one another. We have been created for friendship. The Word of God, and that's one for the children, that'll keep you interested, okay? We're also advised on how we choose friendship. Choose friendship. So Proverbs 12, verse 26 says, "The righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray." So the righteous choose their friends. So yes, it's important to have friends, but it's important to choose the right friends and to have the right people in our lives. Why? Because our friends influence us. Our friends shape who we are. They shape our thinking. They have a massive influence upon us. We become like those that we spend our time with. We become like those that we spend our time with. Before, whenever we were growing up, we lived in Ards for quite a while, my dad and Steph and I. And my friendship group there was guys out of school. And I didn't hang around with the SU group. I hung around with the football guys, all of that. And there wasn't a healthy culture around some of that. And so whenever I hung around those guys, and I'll talk a wee bit about some of the influence there in a while, but I kind of wasn't that really going for God. I declared myself as a Christian, but I never really lived the life, if I'm being honest, right up until I was about 15 or 16. And I really struggled with that because of a lot of the influence of the people that I was with. But whenever we moved to Belfast, I started to hang out with my Christian friends a lot more and allow them to speak into my life a lot more. And it was unbelievable the change that that made. I would say for me, in many ways, it was a lifesaver. Shifting that group of friends to be around people who were a much more beneficial group for me to be around. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't have non-Christian friends, please don't hear that. But I am saying that for me as growing up, that was a massive influence on my life. It was why it's really important for me that we live near church, that we're handy to church, that we can drop our kids off and get them to play with each other. If you're teenagers, you don't play anymore. You hang. Is that what you do? You hang. We're just going out to hang. Okay, but that's really important. And do you know, I know for us as parents, Alison and I, we're really keen to allow Cara and Emily and eventually Zach to hang with other church folk that they could benefit and grow and encourage one another and be around good, godly influences. And that's really important for them and for us as well. Do you know, there's a thing called, I'm going to bore you a little bit here, but there's a thing called neuron mirroring. It's not easy to say, but basically what that is, whenever you spend enough time with someone, one of the things that happens is that your brain starts to fire the same way that their brain fires. If you spend enough time with someone and you put a brain scan on, some of you medical people, hopefully you agree with me here. Okay, I've read this. I know not everything you read is true, right? But some of the things that do happen is that you start to fire in the same way. It can also be called like an empathetic response. Okay, so the way somebody is feeling, so you go and you start talking to somebody who's really down in the dumps. Do you know what starts to happen to you? You can start to feel a little bit down in the dumps. And it's not just a feeling thing. There's actually chemistry going on in your brain and relating and things that are going on there. Yeah, eyes glazing over. Okay, but it's really important to the people that you hang about with. So it's not just an influence thing. It's actually a everything thing. It's very important about the people that you spend a lot of time with. Okay, and who you allow to speak into your lives. We become like those we are with. So, for example, I remember hearing, sorry, Cara, about to use you, and you can guess who I'm talking about here. But Cara started to speak in a way, and it wasn't bad, and it wasn't good, it wasn't any different. She just started to maybe emphasize something in sentences that she never did around us. Do you know? And we didn't speak like that. And then whenever we kind of went, who speaks like that? I don't know. And then we said to James, and he went, oh, that's such and such out of impact. So now you're all going, who was that? Let's just say it was saying the word like a lot. Okay, so I'll just leave it at that. All right. So we were kind of going, well, where does she get that? But what happens is we become like the people we're around. Isn't that right? Yep. We become like the people we're around. And so these things happen within us. So the Bible puts a lot of weight on this idea of choosing our friends wisely. Proverbs 27:17. Can you go there with me? I need to go quickly because I have a lot of stuff in front of me. So Proverbs 27:17. And it says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. As iron sharpens iron, so one man or one woman sharpens another. Also, if you had a look at 1 Corinthians 15, but I want you just to keep your Bibles open to Proverbs, so I'll not get you to flick to 1 Corinthians 15:33. But if you're taking notes, you can write that scripture down. 1 Corinthians 15:33. And it actually says that bad company corrupts morals. So what we see here is that it's really important about how you choose your friends. And again, I'm not saying you shouldn't be friends and you should disown and you should push people away who maybe aren't just like you. But the main people, the people who are speaking into your life, the people that you're walking through life with, the people that you want there when things are rough, the people that you want there when you're absolutely celebrating, your core group of friends, these need to be people who are able to sharpen you and not blunt you. They need to be people iron sharpens iron. So our core group of friends should be people who are spurring us on to become more, to be more, and challenging some things within our lives in order to help us be sharper. But not people who are dragging us down and bringing a bad influence into our lives. I know that's really common sense, but that's what the scriptures say. Iron sharpens iron. So again, I want you to be thinking about the people around your life. Are the people in your life sharpening you? Do you have people in your life who are challenging you to become a better person? And are you doing that for other people? I think that's a good challenge. Choose wisely. One day a farmer grabbed his shotgun to shoot at a flock of pesky crows. Unfortunately, he didn't see that his sociable parrot had joined in with the crows. And after firing a few shots, he walked over to the fallen birds and was surprised to find his parrot badly ruffled with a broken wing. When the farmer's children saw the injured bird, they asked, "Dad, what happened?" And the farmer simply replied, "Bad company." Bad company. Do you know, I had a CDT teacher. I don't even know whether to do CDT anymore. Craft design technology. Well, I had a CDT teacher who was brilliant. Mr. Coulter, you could have got him to do most of your work. If you said, "Sir, you wouldn't show us that joint." And he would have done the housing joint or whatever it was for you. And he went, "Thanks very much." And somehow I passed CDT, mostly doing that. But he used to say to me, I remember a couple of times he pulled me behind in class and he says, "Richie, you fly with the crows, you'll get shot down." I used to think, what are you talking about? You fly, but he obviously seen the company I was keeping wasn't the best and how that could have dragged me down as well. You fly with the crows, you'll get shot down. So Proverbs is very helpful and practical when it comes to choosing friends. It tells us those we should avoid and those that we should choose. So here's another question quickly for you because I want to keep you engaged. Okay, so here's a question for you. We'll give you a minute just to talk about that. What qualities would you look for and what would you avoid in a friend? Okay, so what qualities do you look for in a friend and what qualities would you avoid? Right, because Proverbs gives us some answers for both of these, but I'd love you to have a wee think about that. So qualities, again, children, young people, be great to get some answers. So what qualities do you look for and what qualities do you want to avoid? All right. Okay. Let's get some feedback then. Are you okay to run about? Okay, any answers then? Okay, looks like Zara's looking to go again, and Ryan, that's good. Yes, go for it.
Sharing.
Okay, so you're looking for somebody who shares your sweets?
Kind and helpful.
Kind and helpful. Brilliant. What about Gary? Has Gary got a wee answer there? What kind of friend do you look for?
Trustworthy.
Trustworthy. Good stuff. Anybody else? Okay, compassionate down here. Loyal. Brilliant.
Positive.
Honest. Yep. Two more positive things.
Dependable.
And to tell the truth. Brilliant. Okay. Any negatives? Anything that you would try to avoid?
A taker.
Okay. Dishonesty. Okay, shout out louder. Critical. A bully. Definitely avoid the bully. And a gossiper. Brilliant. Okay, so we're really on track with some of the things that Proverbs wants to look at and says. So things to avoid, all right? And whenever we're choosing friendships, these are the things that come up within Proverbs. People to avoid. And we're going to rattle through these. So if you get your Bible out, we're going to have a really go through this. There's a list of about 5 or 6. Okay, so here we go. First one to avoid, gossips. Proverbs 20, verse 19. And it says in Proverbs 20, 19, a gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid a man who talks too much. Okay, so a gossip betrays confidence, avoid a man who talks too much. A lot of these are self-explanatory, so I'm not going to really go too much into them. Secondly, someone who is short-tempered. So we're going to go to Proverbs 22, 24 to 25. And it says, do not make friends with a hot-tempered man. Do not associate with one easily angered. And that's really important because that does have an influence on you. Remember what you said about becoming like the people were around? And that's so true. And a number of things, like I remember playing golf with a guy, and I haven't played golf in ages, but whenever I was playing golf, one of the things I decided I would never do was get annoyed at making a bad shot, because I was out to enjoy myself, so I wasn't going to get really wound up about it. But I remember going out with this guy, and he was chucking clubs and breaking clubs and cracking the bap. And by the time you're on the 9th or 10th hole, now that wasn't Colin, by the way. Colin's chilled out. He's giving you good lectures on how to become better and all. He's really good. If you're looking to go out and play a game of golf, Colin will take you out and give you good tips. But this guy was, as I say, just going absolutely daft. And I could feel myself getting wound up at making bad shots by the time, and I actually decided at the end of it, never going out with him again, because I didn't want to become like that, and I didn't want it to spoil my experience. I know it's a silly thing, but people have influence on us. The whole mob mentality, what do you think happens whenever normal, peaceful people go out on a protest and one person kicks off, and then it all just starts to kick off? And that can happen within our lives very, very quickly. So short-tempered, we want to watch out for them. Number three, those given to excess. Okay, so Proverbs 23, 20 to 21 says this. It says, "Do not join with those who drink too much wine or gorge themselves on meat, for drunkards and gluttons become poor, and drowsiness clothes them in rags." Anybody feeling a bit guilty there? I didn't eat too much meat. It's more the potatoes. But there's a challenge there as well to watch out for those who live in excess because of what that brings into our lives. Some of these we've already gotten. Liars, okay, Proverbs 25, 18. And it says there, "Like a club or a sword or a sharp arrow is the man who gives false testimony against his neighbor." So that person's going to pierce you. That person's going to harm you or destroy you. Liars are people that we want to stay away from. Unfaithful. So Proverbs 25, verse 19. Are you still with me on the scriptures? So Proverbs 25, 19. I brought that up. Unfaithful. There we go. And it says there, "Like a bad tooth or a lame foot is reliance on the unfaithful in times of trouble." Okay, so someone who continually lets you down, someone who says, "I'll be there," but they're not there, they're probably not the people that you want to be investing all of your time with and investing lots of friendship into. Next, inconsiderate people. So Proverbs 25, 20. I just love how practical this is. Would you hear this? So it just says, "Like one who takes away a garment on a cold day, or like vinegar poured on soda, is one who sings songs to a heavy heart." Okay, so it's this. They just make matters worse. Somebody who makes matters worse, that make you feel worse after you've been in their company. Somebody who's inconsiderate, they're probably not the best person to be around. And number seven, those who instigate evil. And I'll leave you with that passage, Proverbs 1, 10 to 19. But basically someone who plans to do evil, someone who's up to no good, somebody who is premeditating, speaking bad about someone, causing trouble, evil. In this regard, it was like a heist. But anybody that's instigating and premeditating and thinking about evil. Okay, so those people to choose then, okay, then people to choose according to Proverbs. Choose wise people. Proverbs 13, verse 20. And it says this. Proverbs 13, verse 20. "He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm." So he who accompanies the wise, or he who walks with the wise, grows wise. You want to get wiser? Walk with wise people. Walk with people who are trying to listen to and hear God. So the wise, people who are trustworthy, we said that. There's a scripture reference there. And I want to encourage you to read that. So Proverbs 16, 28, and it talks about we're taking a negative from the positive, or we're taking a positive from the negative, because it talks there about someone who isn't trustworthy, but the opposite is true of a friend. Those who are honest, okay, so Proverbs 27, some of you are going to love this passage. You think, that's just me. Proverbs 27, 5 to 6, and it says there, "Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses." And what that's saying really is that a true friend is somebody who tells you the truth. In love, of course, okay? Now, you have people that tell you the truth, and there's not an awful lot of love about it. But a true friend is someone who tells you, okay, the illustration that came down. A true friend is somebody who tells you your zip's down. A true friend is somebody who tells you something that you didn't do so well. A true friend is somebody who gives you honest feedback. A true friend is someone who, even if it's awkward, will sit you down and say, do you know what? I think this might not be good. A true friend, Alison in Furness Tour, sorry for picking on you, Ali, but Ali has sat me down once or twice and went, you mightn't want to hear this, but I need to tell you this. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And she's done it in a beautiful way, not in an angry way, not in a, do you know, a wee sniping way, but that's true friendship. So a true friend tells you honest things, things that you need to hear and things that you need to know. A true friend then is faithful. It's faithful, Proverbs 17:17. And we're going to cover the two of those, the next one as well, because a true friend is loving. And that's Proverbs 17:17. And it says there, a friend loves at all times. Loves at all times. So a true friend is loving, but continually and constantly loving. Thirdly, then, we look at how we find comfort in friendship. Comfort in friendship. I love that wee picture. Chin up. We've got this. Proverbs 18:24 says, one who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And although we use that scripture to talk about Jesus, and it truly describes Jesus, it also describes true friends. Those who stick close, those who never walk away. And there's comfort from friends. Comfort from friends. We've read it there already in 17:17, and it says that a friend loves always, that they're there all the time, that there's a constancy with their help and with their encouragement. Consider the Apostle Paul. So whenever Paul was in prison, there were people who were companions to him. They drew alongside him and made his suffering that bit more bearable. In Philemon 1 verse 7, he actually writes to Philemon, and he says to him there, he says, you have refreshed the hearts of the saints. And I think that's a beautiful way of saying to someone about friendship. I think that's what friends do. They refresh your heart. Whenever you spend time with them, you feel refreshed, not wearied, not, oh goodness, can't wait. I need time away from that person. But do you know what? I can't wait until the next time I get to spend with that person. So a true friend is someone we're wanting to be in their company, and they bring comfort to us. A middle school teacher asked her class to write imaginative definitions of a friend, and these were the definitions that she received. I thought they were really good. So a friend is a pair of open arms in a society of armless people. A friend is a warm bedroll on a cold and frosty night. A friend is a mug of hot coffee on a damp, cloudy day. A friend is a beautiful orchard in the middle of the desert. A friend is a hot bath after you've walked 20 miles on a dusty road. That's what a friend is. I came across another beautiful one, and the Charlie Brown comics, Peanuts, and one of the stories in it was when Peppermint Patty said to Marcy, she said, I'd like to read this book, Marcy, but I'm kind of afraid. I had a grandfather who didn't think much of reading. She continued by saying, he always said that if you read too many books, your head would fall off. Marcy responds, you start the first chapter, and I'll hold on to your head. That's what a friend is. And they bring comfort to us. Penultimate point, the counsel of friendship. The counsel of friendship. You see, there's value in having friends and having the counsel of other people. Proverbs 11 verse 14 says this. Proverbs 11 verse 14. You still with me in the scriptures? Still coming with me? Thank you so much. Proverbs 11 14. So, for lack of guidance, a nation falls, but many advisors make victory sure. And you know, we are not meant to have this kind of mentality where, do you know what? I'm going to do this and nobody can sway me. That's not the way we've been wired. I would say there's probably been one or two instances in my life where you couldn't have swayed me. You couldn't have got me to change my mind. I knew for sure God was telling me to do it. One or two in 39 years. Like, for example, going to Bible college. No matter who had told me, no, you're not meant to go to Bible college, I felt that I heard God so clearly one night. I didn't hear an audible voice, but it was so loud within me, it felt audible. And you couldn't have convinced me not to go. There's just no way. But most other things in my life, I absolutely believe in having people around me who can speak into my life, who can agree or disagree with ideas I have. I absolutely believe, I was lying in bed thinking about this last night, and I absolutely believe in multiplicity of leadership. I don't believe in there being one man of God who just says everything. I absolutely believe in even how our church leadership is set up, that there's a number of us there, and I believe in the corporate wisdom. I believe as we gather together, my ideas don't always have to be agreed with. And they're not always, sure they're not, guys. but do you know what? That's absolutely okay. Because we want to grow, and I think God has wired us in such a way that it's really important that it's not just me and God, no, God's told me to do this. So whether it's in my life, in business, in leadership, in church, or whatever it might be, even in family, I don't believe ever God's called us to be this one unit that just makes up our minds and goes and does it, but that we get counsel from other people, from friends that we trust, and we follow that counsel, and we hear, and we walk with it. I really believe that with all of my heart. I'm sold out for it. It would be easier sometimes to not, but I'm totally sold out to it. Hopefully that makes sense. Counsel can delight the heart. So go to Proverbs 27, verse 9. Proverbs 27, verse 9. Perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of one's friend springs from his earnest counsel. It's really good to have people around us that you can call, that you can phone, that you can spend time with. I'm having this problem. I'm going through this. It's such a beautiful thing to have. People that we can go to. And you know, again, lying in bed last night, just because all this was running through my mind, and I wasn't sleeping too well. I was just thinking of it all. And I was just thinking while processing this, just, you know, there's probably some of you here today and you're thinking, but there's a lot of people that don't make an effort with me. I don't really ever feel like that. That there's, you know, I've made an effort with them and this friendship's dropped off, or I've made an effort with them. And, you know, probably a number of years ago, I felt quite like that as well. I was kind of feeling like, you know, if I didn't bother, nobody would bother with me. And then you start to feel a bit pity about that. You feel a bit lonely about that. You feel a bit, and you have an outright grumble to yourself and you think, well, stuff them all. And you kind of can feel like that a wee bit. But then I kind of made a choice and I said, you know what, I'm not going to be like that. I am going to just start investing. I'm going to start investing in friendship. I'm going to start investing. Even if people haven't called me back, I'm going to invest in people that I feel would be worthwhile having in my life. And so I started to just phone people and go, some of my friends, and they used to go, what is it you need? I said, nothing. I'm just phoned to say hello. What's the crack? Because we men, we're not as good at, girls, you're better at that. Us men, we're not as good at that. Do you know, we're all about the purpose and trying to get the stuff done. But I've tried to just phone to say hello. What's the crack? Or find an excuse to phone and have a conversation. Do you know what started to happen? Is that starts to reciprocate eventually. I would have to say eventually. It did take a while. Till I actually got a call this week from someone who just said, just phone to say hello. And I nearly fell over. I was like, oh. Because why? We need to learn to invest in this. And I don't know why I'm saying that. I just felt I needed to say, for you not to give up. And not to sort of withdraw. Because you've been wired for friendship. And you've got to invest, because there's going to become seasons in your life that you're going to need those friends around you. So invest. Invest in those friendships anyway. The Council of Friendships. So a couple of questions as we come nearly to a close in regards to that point. Who is influencing you? Who is speaking into your life? Who is giving you counsel? Who are you allowing to give you counsel? Who have you given permission to grab you by the arm in a really pleasant way and say, you're out of line? Because I think it's really important to allow some people to do that in your life. Last point, continuing in friendship. So Proverbs also gives us wisdom about how we can continue in friendship. And again, it does it by pointing out the negative and the positive. So here's a quick question for you. You ready for one more feedback? And then I'm going to wrap up, and then you'll get home to whatever dinner you've got prepared. You ready? Okay. Give me a feel safe way on how to lose a friend. Okay. Feel safe way on how to lose a friend. Okay. Talk to each other for 30 seconds. Feel safe way on how to lose a friend. And come back to me. Okay. Okay. Go for it. Just shout out nice and loud. Okay. Harry. Disloyalty. Absolutely. Ryan. Making fun of them, absolutely, yes, definitely. Say again? Uncomforting, not being very... Well chucked under the bus, sir. Okay, not being a comfort, not helping, yes, that's good. Well done, Emily, that was a really good one. Anybody else? Sorry? Ignoring, yes. Go for two more. Betrayal. One more. Feel safe way to lose a friend. You must be all really good at keeping friends. Say again. Walking away in times of trouble. Okay, brilliant. Okay, so again, Proverbs gives us a number of these, and I'm going to give you them. And a lot of them you've actually said. So how to lose friends. The first one is don't let go of the negative past, all right? Don't let go of the negative past. And if you've got your Bible still open, go to Proverbs 17, verse 9. Proverbs 17, verse 9, it says, "He who covers over an offense promotes love, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends." And the idea there is that... love covering over evil, love covering over mistakes. It's kind of because you love the person, you put up with some of the things. You don't just keep bringing it up, bringing it up, bringing it up, bringing it up, bringing it up. So once your way to ruin a friendship is to keep on bringing up the negative past, the stuff that that person's done, or things that can damage or harm that relationship or that friendship. Secondly, be argumentative. Okay, I don't know whether there's any argumentative people in the room, but Proverbs 17... 14 says, Proverbs 17, 14, it says, starting a quarrel is like breaching a dam. So drop the matter before a dispute breaks out. It's just so clear, so good, such good wisdom. Some of you need to remember some of these things whenever you're at home and somebody kicks off and you just go, excuse me, Proverbs 17, verse 14 says, starting a quarrel is like breaching a dam. So drop the matter before a dispute breaks out. All right, that would be really good armament because you'd get things shut down very quickly there. You'd even start with the Bible says. It also says in Proverbs 26, verse 21, it says, "As charcoal to embers and as wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife." In other words, they just keep it going. They keep heaping stuff on, and they keep a fire blazing that should be allowed to go out. Here's one for you, how to lose friends. Be high maintenance, right? Proverbs 25, verse 17. Hopefully nobody's getting an elbow. Proverbs 25, verse 17, and it says, seldom set foot in your neighbor's house. Too much of you, and he will hate you. Now, and again, remember, we're looking at the poetic point behind it. What's the point? It's not saying don't be hospitable, don't call in, don't do that. It's this idea of constantly needing and being needy. Okay, now friendship is there for times of need. So there's a difference being there in times of need and being really needy and being high maintenance. I'm going to leave it at that. You can apply that whatever way you want. But one feel safe way to lose friendship, being high maintenance. And number four, being overly sarcastic. Proverbs 26, 18 to 19. And it says there, "Like a madman shooting firebrands or deadly arrows is a man who deceives his neighbor and says, I was only joking." Again, the context behind that is, and I've sort of applied that a little bit to our own humor and sarcasm. Anybody ever tell you, "Oh, it's only because we rake you, we'll love you. We'll love you because we're..." I remember, I'll be dead honest about this one. Obviously, as I've got a bit older, I've put a bit of weight on, and it's okay, but that's just it. But there was somebody that hadn't seen me in a while, and I really respected this person, and they seen me at an event, and they were, oh boy, you've put the weight on. And I was like, okay, yeah, thanks for that. And it's amazing how, like, people actually come up to me and rub my belly and go, so are you eating today? You're like, what is this? Do you know, I just don't understand it. I'm like, do I have something? Give me grief on my forehead. So anyway, this person, and they actually put probably an offensive picture on Facebook. And this is an older person, an offensive picture on Facebook, and says, my goodness, what's happened to Alistair Ritchie? And it was really hurtful. And actually, a few friends jumped the defense and went, whoa, hang on a second, what are you doing? He says, oh, I'm only doing it because I love you. And I actually just wrote underneath it, that's the kind of love I could do without. So it is, you know, now I'm being really open and honest with you about that, so no patting me on the belly on the way out. there may be a laying on of hands. But you know, we can be really hurtful to each other. And okay, I think, I've thick enough skin, I can get over that. But you know, we can really hit people's sore points and think we're being funny and think we don't need to fire fiery darts and fire brands at other people. Especially brothers and sisters in Christ, we're here and we've got to use this to uplift one another, encourage. Now, I'm not ruling out banter. I'm not ruling out a bit of raking. Of course, that's all good fun. But be very, very careful that in our good fun, that we're not being hurtful and harmful to each other. Okay? Just fire that out. Anyway, by the way, I'm over that. okay, being sarcastic. How to continue in friendship. Very, very quick list here, okay? So continuing in friendship. I thought this was brilliant. Walk with God. How do you have the best friendships? Walk with God. And actually it has an impact on the friendships that we have. It says in Proverbs 16, verse 7, if you're going there with me. Proverbs 16, 7. When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies live at peace with him. How much better would our friendships be then if we're walking with God? If we're walking with God. I was talking to a young girl who's hoping to get married soon, just this week, and she was thinking, you know, what ways it work. And one of the things God's really impressed on my heart about marriage is that God really wants marriage to work. And he'll guide us in our marriages and our relationships and our friendships. And I was giving her an example of one time whenever I was having a bit of an argument with Alison, and how the Holy Spirit just totally stopped me in my tracks. And basically told me I was wrong in the midst of it. And I had to kind of get into reverse gear really, really quickly and get back out of it and go, whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm really, really sorry. I don't have time to tell you the whole story. But I really believe that if we're walking right with God, God helps us be better people. And he helps us in the middle of it. And that argument could have gone away down the road. And yet, for me, trying to be right with God and trying to hear him and obey God, I believe helped me be a better husband that day. And he'll help us be better friends. Not good? So walk with God. Be slow to anger. Proverbs 15, 18, and so on. And that's probably a concept that we get. Be slow to anger. Don't be quick to jump in. Don't be quick to lose our tempers. And also in James 1, 19 to 20. And you can write those down if you're taking notes. Avoid quarreling. And again, it's the opposite of some of the things that we have been saying there in regards of how to lose friends, how to continue friends. Avoid quarreling. Now, that doesn't mean that you avoid conflict and that you never, okay, you have to balance that up with the one who's honest and gives honest feedback. But it's not being prickly. It's not reacting harshly to everyone and anything. It's someone who is measured. Okay, so avoid quarreling. Where am I? Proverbs 20, verse 3. And it says there, it is to a man's honor to avoid strife, but every fool is quick to quarrel. Number 4, speak gently. Proverbs 15, verse 1. And then we've only one more after this. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And number 5, be quick to love. Proverbs 10, verse 12. And it says there, hatred stirs up dissension, but love covers over all wrongs. What does that mean? It means that, yes, I see the thing. I see the wrong that was done. I see that element of that person who is winding me up. But you know what? Because of love, I'm going to overlook it. I'm going to have grace and mercy in the midst of that. Love covers all wrongs. So, I think the main challenge of this message on Wise Up to Friendship, two main things. Number one, choose the right friends. And whether you're 2, 22, or 102, that still applies. Choose the right friends. Watch who you're walking closely through life with. Again, this is not a don't ever be friends with the unsaved. Please be friends with the unsaved. But make sure you've got a really tight circle of people around you who are able to speak life and goodness. Iron sharpens iron. Make sure you have people around you who are sharpening you, not blunting you. And the second thing is this. It's not just about the friends we choose. What about the friends we are? What kind of friend are you? Because we all want to have a best friend. We all want to have people in our lives who are good friends. Do you know the best way to achieve that? Is become a good friend. Is to be a good friend. And good friends beget good friends. So choose your friends wisely and be a good friend. I know that's really simple today. Hopefully that's been of help. Hopefully that's been something that's been even interesting this morning, something to get us thinking about what Proverbs says about friendship. Can we pray together? And then we'll go. Let's stand. Lord, I just love how practical your word is and how it gives us stuff that's just on the level. It's just right, Lord, where we could walk out of here and apply this, some of this stuff right now. And Lord, as we draw ourselves into, Lord, thinking about friendship, thank you first and foremost that you are, that you've called us not just servants but friends. Thank you that we get to have friendship with Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus and all of the benefits that that is. And we thank you that as we have friendship with Jesus, that that has an impact on the people's lives and our own friendships, Lord, and our own connections. So, Lord, help us to be wise in how we choose our friends. Help us to be in, Lord, groups of friendships that iron sharpens iron. It sharpens us and makes us become more and more like you. And help us to be good friends. Help us to be loving, caring, not quarrelsome. All of those things that we've looked at. Help us to be like that. And Lord, if there's a friendship deficit in any of our lives, help us to spend some time, even over the summer, to invest in walking with and doing life with people as you've intended it. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen, amen. Bless you. Thank you so much. We'd love to see you again tonight. Pastor Sandy will be blessing us with God's word. So good to see you then.